Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, you guys, to another week of gameplay. We are back here live. I am your host, Mimi. We are here every Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm here with my boys. I got D and Marv should be showing up pretty soon, or maybe I got one of them. Who's on the line?
You got me, as always. I'm here and ready for action.
Ready for action! Uh-oh, we got a lot to talk about this week, you guys. I'm really excited. Got my boy D all the way from Arizona. I'm over here in New York. We are live for you guys every weekday, Wednesday nights, 8:30 p.m. So I'm glad you guys are joining us this evening. We'll get Marv on here when he hops on. But how you been, D? How is it out there?
Ah, oh, man, I'm doing good. Everything's been good. I don't like the topics we're about to start with and go over, but, you know, it's about football and the seasons and how it goes. You know, football's unpredictable, so we enjoy it while it's here. What about you?
We definitely do. We definitely do. I'm doing good out here. You know, I can't complain. Things are, you know, slowly but gradually getting back on track. You know, I'm excited that football's back on. It's been a long time coming. I actually feel like it's almost over. I feel like we're closer to the end than the beginning. But, you know, I'm happy that we're able to talk about it. I'm excited. You know, it was a crazy week in football. I don't know what was going on with some of these teams. Definitely things happened I totally didn't expect. But, you know, it must be the reason why you're the first one on the air, right?
Right.
Has to be the reason that you are the first one on, because we have got, you know, we're going to jump right in, you guys, because we got a lot to get into today. So we're just going to, you know, go forward and talk about them. But first, we got to talk about Dallas. You know, now granted, I was teeter-tottering between Arizona and Dallas. I kind of ended up going with Dallas in the end because I just felt like sometimes Arizona let you down at the last minute. But I did not expect to see what I saw from Dallas playing that football game. I was very disappointed. I couldn't believe, because then, now listen, you know, I'm not a fan of Dallas, but I do like, you know, I will root for them. And I do like them because I watched Zeke play in college. At that time, I was living in Ohio, so I, you know, by not by choice, but I was an Ohio State fan, not necessarily a fan, but I like to watch them. And he was definitely a high octane player for Ohio State. So I have seen this boy and what he can do. I'm very shocked to see him fumbling so much. He hardly ever fumbled the ball in college. I mean, and I'm not saying it never happened, but to be happening back to back and just doing just stuff that by the time you're in the pros, you should know by now. I was very disappointed. And honestly, that's the reason they lost this game, because starting out with two fumbles and then your offense not being able to trust their main offensive player, how do you game plan for that when you have to pull him out and you have to change things up? You already lost Dak. The other leader there is Zeke. So when you lose them both, it's like, where do you go from there? I would like to know your opinion on this. Like, where are they in trouble now? Like, was it, I thought that they would be able to, like, still, you know, be the Dallas Cowboys even with Andy Dalton. I felt like, you know, I know he's no Dak, but, you know, at the same time, he can throw the ball. He is a veteran. He's been there before. So I'm just wondering, is this Dak loss a bigger problem than we initially thought?
I would say it is a big problem because he has a huge presence in the huddle. He's a leader among men, and he's got that locker room's attention. So they play for Dak. Now, is Dak the only problem we have? No. We have a third-string offensive line across the board. So bad blocking up front. Andy Dalton gets no time. Zeke has no holes. That's not good. One of his fumbles was mainly his fault. He ran the ball. He got hit. He fumbled. The second one was a drop-off pass that he wasn't ready for. He tried to turn upfield. It got popped out. But the bad part about the fumbles is the position that they gave the Cardinals. They were in Cardinal territory every time.
Exactly.
So it was easy pickings for them to go ahead and capitalize. And kudos to the Cardinals for capitalizing, because that's what you're supposed to do with turnovers. We have no defensive back end, so we have no safeties, no corners. So we saw how Christian Kirk. But I say Christian Cook for a reason, because he was cooking my defense all night long. Christian Cook, boy, he was booking them like,
man,
I was like,
he was looking nice.
Away.
Like, yo, he was trying to let the people know that Kyler ain't the only one with speed out there. I'm just trying to see what happened.
Yeah, it was rough to watch, but it was something I was expecting because we are depleted. Zeke got paid. He's content. Tony Pollard came in and actually was a spark for us. So he is what you want in a running back, someone who's not paid and is running to get paid. I'm going to put it out there. I feel he's complacent. He got his money, and he's not hungry anymore. He keeps talking about feed the beast, but the beast ain't hungry. He looking full and fat to me. So I need him to turn into that guy that wants to win ball games, not just get checks, cash, and be famous.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. But what about the coaching? Well, how do you feel about – because you're the – you will have more – you could shed more light on this. Because if our listeners don't know, he is a Dallas fan, okay? He loves the Big D. Obviously, his name is Dwayne. You know, there's so many reasons why, you know, we have to, you know, have this discussion, and especially with Dwayne. So, listen here. What about the coaching staff? They said that they were more prepared for this game than they have been for any other game that, you know, they have played this season. So if this is your best game plan, better game plan than when you had your starting quarterback, and then you lose like this, so where does that leave the people?
Where does it leave the people? It leaves the people to let you know that you can't believe what people tell you. I can already tell you they were not prepared to do this with Andy Dalton at the helm because he doesn't have the same attributes as Dak when it comes to a lackluster line and scrambling. Yes, he can move a little bit. He is elusive. But the way that they were trying to game plan, you can't. You can't put it on the coaches when you're trying to game plan behind. You never really put a game plan together like, look, guys, we're going to be down 30. Let's go ahead and put this plan together now. Your game plan is set to go in motion as the game is at 0-0, maybe a score. You guys score, tie it up, 0-0. That's how game plans are set. I played football. You played football. You know that's how you game plan. This is how it's going to go. No one plans to get put behind off of fumbles and lost possession that were capitalized on. So this game might have had a great game plan, and they might have did a little thing in the lab to try and do more than they've ever done because they needed to get Dalton ready to go, like ready to go. So they might have had a plan. But what happens? Plans don't ever go as put together. It's football. Things happen. Zeke was losing the ball, gave him great field position. They capitalized. That's 14 unanswered points. Now you have to come back out of the hole. And when you are in a hole, you know you can't run the ball. So now Zeke has become obsolete. Even if we had him in the game or kept him in the game or Tony Pollard had a good game, it didn't matter. We had to start throwing the ball. We can't throw the ball because they know we're throwing the ball. Line is depleted. Can't hold up anything. Can't push anything. The pressure was there. Lots of things happen. Coaching, I can't coach that type of style of game. No one can. I'm going to put it on the onus of they probably tried to have a good game plan. They probably were ready for a regular game, and players put them in a bad spot. That's what I'm looking at it as in this game.
I was going to say, because I did see a few drop passes. Now, I'm not saying that Andy Dalton played, you know, as best as he could, because he definitely did not have a great game. But I saw him make a few throws to Gallup, for instance.
Catchable passes.
And yes,
CeeDee Lamb.
catchable
pass. And CeeDee Lamb dropped one in the touch, in the end zone. He dropped it.
Oh, in the end zone.
So,
in the end zone.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, like, on,
so,
you know, the players, are they not taking their practice seriously? Because, like, obviously in this division, you could probably win with under 500.
6-10 record. 6-10 record.
Yeah.
You can go to the playoffs and win the division.
You
yes.
The
right
and
now,
the
division is so sorry. 6-10 is going to get you there.
Exactly.
So we still have
so
hope,
you...
Cowboy Nation.
Oh, my God. There's still hope. Still hope for you. I don't know if there's still hope. We got somebody.
There
hey,
is.
Let's see who we got here. I don't think it's Marv. Hold on. Let me unblock, I mean, unmute this caller. Hi, who do we have on the line?
Hey, remember me? It's Louis from Jersey.
Hey, Louis, how are you?
All right. 6-10
oh,
made the playoffs. That's got to be complete trash. I mean, it's bad enough that one year somebody went 7-9, but to go 6-10, that is not worthy of making the playoffs.
Well, in
it's
this,
not worthy.
You have no choice.
Exactly. You got to get in where you fit in. I'm not condoning it, but it'll get you
He's
there.
Like, don't ruin my wishful dreams
here.
Over here. Okay, I'm 6-9 and I'm going to the playoffs. Okay, don't you mess
right.
that up for me.
Right.
Oh my God. No. Well, there might be some other ones. It may not just be the NFC. But real quick,
yeah.
And I'll get you guys' opinion on this. I just want to talk a little bit about the Green Bay and Tampa Bay game because remember last week. And I said that, you know, this is going to be a game I was looking forward to. Obviously, you guys know I'm a Patriots fan. For everybody who doesn't know,
yeah.
I am a Patriots fan. Yes, I was very heartbroken by the disowning of Brady, you know. And I was upset about him going to Tampa Bay. Obviously, I do want him to be great, but I'm not going to be rooting for Tampa Bay. But I want the best for him, you know. But as the season has progressed, he hasn't, you know, he's had a couple of, like, you know, striking moments, which he always does, and he is the GOAT, and he will always be, so he's always a threat. You know, there was a couple of games that we're looking at him, and was this the best move for him? Should he have stayed? Should he have took less money? You know, whatever the case may be. This game, to me, was like, you know, it's not that he played, like, a spectacular game, but I thought
right.
that this game would show a little bit of how he wasn't going to be successful moving on with another team. It didn't have to be Tampa Bay. It could have been anybody going up against somebody who is in his class, okay? Going up against Aaron Rodgers where he can be tested at the quarterback position because that's what you really want to see. You can't help what your defense
Aaron
do.
Rodgers.
You can't, you know what I'm saying? And he, although it's not like he threw 5 touchdowns like he did, you know, in previous games, but he had a better game all around, you know, and you know, there was things that contributed to that. But I did not expect Tampa Bay to do to Green Bay what they did. I was shocked. I'm surprised that Brady won because this is what he does. This the games that you think a team should come in and blow them out, they don't.
Yeah.
And it just goes to have the conversation of, and then to have okay, let's play into the Patriots a little bit. I wanted to talk about this later in the show, but let me just bring them in real quick. The Patriots losing to Denver, which is unheard of. You know what I'm saying? Even with the players
yeah.
that they had, they should not have lost
yeah,
that game. Denver didn't do nothing
about this. They
but
died.
Score field goals.
Put that first.
That entire
that should have
game.
Been the highlight of the show. That should have been the
I
highlight
know.
Of the show.
Okay,
that should
so
have been the first
with
thing.
With all that being said, I'm just trying to get my point across that maybe it was Tom Brady. You know, the conversation was, can Bill do it without him? Can
yeah.
Tom go without him? But it seems like Brady just doesn't know his guys that well yet, and how could he? He was with New England for 20 years. There was always new people coming in. He was never the new guy. You know what I'm saying? So they were always fitting into his
right.
system, not fitting into another system. So maybe it took him a couple weeks to be the GOAT again. But I just feel like I saw that in him. Like when it's on the line, when it's somebody that he needs to compete with, he shows up. And I just feel like that had the Patriots kicking themselves about paying him the $30 million. I don't know. Okay, so I'll let you go first, D, because, you know, me and you, we have this argument, and then I'll let you, look. I just want to hear your thoughts on this. What?
So I'm talking about the Tom Brady game, right? That's what I'm talking about?
Okay.
Yes.
All okay. Right. So let's talk about that, right? So you want to say he showed greatness. So is 17 of 27 greatness? 166
no.
yards. It's not. So his running game actually works for him, and he had just had a game managed. So that's all he had to do. And his defense finally showed up. His defense stymied Aaron Rodgers and company, who had 16 for 35 passes.
I didn't say greatness as in he threw five touchdowns, he threw for 400 yards. I'm just talking about being who he is, making sure his team comes out with the win no matter what.
Right.
You know, I'm not worried about his stats as far as his quarterback rating. I'm just talking about the fact
course.
That he
you know,
went into a Green Bay team.
Me.
Listen, Green Bay looked elite. You know, they
yeah.
got a lot of injuries. They, you know what I'm saying? But Aaron Rodgers is finding a way to win those games. Same thing. So this is going to be a battle of the quarterbacks trying to find their way to win a game. And I don't know who was Aaron Rodgers. He was a shell of himself. You know what I'm saying? He makes plays. He wasn't making any plays. That's what I mean. But go ahead. Finish your point.
Oh, boy. Are you in the hot seat tonight?
Thank you. So what I was trying to compare was the stats. So they played equal, right? Except for the two interceptions on the side of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers
right.
was 16-35, 160 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. What this shows me is what you're talking about, because you didn't let me finish. He didn't shut down. When Tom Brady threw pick sixes, especially against the young gun Herbert and the Chargers in that other game, and he didn't fold. He was like, all right, it happened. I'll get that back. Will this team to win games. So what you're talking about is the will to win. It doesn't always show up on the stat sheet. It doesn't always show up in other things with numbers. It shows up in the will to push the team, get in their head, get the troops ready, get them primed, because he's doing a lot more yelling this year, and getting them lined up. So what you're saying, it did show that Tom Brady is an integral part of the Patriots' success. Because when they were falling behind, or they were making mistakes, or they were messing up, he was able to will them to victory. In this case, he willed them in a different way. He managed the game. He didn't turn the ball over. He made plays when he needed to, because he threw a touchdown pass to Gronk, which the Gronk connection with him and Gronk, five receptions, 78 yards and a touchdown, that's classic. That's all Patriot way right there. Ronald Jones ran for two. And he threw another garbage time touchdown.
Extended garbage.
But what I'm
time.
Trying to tell you is it's great overtime. So he played the way he needed to play, and his defense showed up, and he willed them in a whole different way. He managed and didn't mess the game up or let the Packers come in with mistakes. So that is a good, true sign of greatness. Do what you need to do to win the game. So I'm with you. Kudos to Tom Brady for doing what he was necessary and needed to do. He played a great game as far as what he needed to do. They didn't ask him to win. They asked him to not turn the ball over and make plays to keep us and score points. He did a great job.
Here's a question for you, though. Do you think the Patriots are missing Brady's presence there? Because this is not the same, you know, Patriots team since before he came. You know, this is they're having their worst season since 2002.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and they had a lot of opt-outs, too. So we got to remember that.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of
right.
opt-outs and
now,
a lot of injuries, and there's a lot of things going on.
And Patriots had a lot more opt-outs than most teams. But
right.
I do feel that they're missing the structure of Brady. You know what? Maybe not the structure of Brady, the talent of Brady, because they are not used to having a quarterback that's active like Cam, that can make a play out of no play. But also, they are not used to a quarterback like Cam that doesn't take care of the ball. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of things are different when you're so used to being like, you know, military. Like, this is how it goes. This is how it is. You got the best quarterback. He's accurate with throws. Like, Cam is not as accurate as Brady. So I think that there are things that receivers are not used to. I've seen Edelman drop passes that I've never seen him drop. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Brady made that pass, he would have caught it. You know what I'm saying? He would have had that. So it's like, I think that they have not had enough time to adjust. And I think it's easier to adjust to somebody who is Brady status than to adjust to somebody who's Cam status. It's easy to catch a ball that's going to be right in your chest where you know it's supposed to be than to have to play to catch a ball from somebody who's not that accurate. So I just feel like in time they will adjust to Cam's style of play, but it's not going to happen in the first year, especially when Cam came. It's not even like he came at the end of last season and, you know, they had time to go over all this. Brady left at the last moment possible, you know, so they didn't know what they were going to, you know, have. And they didn't even have Cam
COVID.
Until the last possible.
COVID.
You know, so exactly.
Yeah. COVID.
So I just
no OTAs
like,
and no training camp and no preseason. So
that's a hurry, buddy, this year too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge difference between having Tom Brady and having Cam Newton. Not to, you know, not to shoot Cam Newton down or anything, because I do think he's talented, but he is not Brady.
Tom Brady is my cousin. I mean, my co-host is his cousin, actually. My co-host is his cousin on my show.
Oh, Cam Newton?
Yeah, his cousin is my co-host.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. But
I think it's on his mother's side.
On his mother's side.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's a good kid, you know. I watched him in college too. You know, I do think he's talented, but he is not as mature as Brady. He hasn't been through what Brady has been through, and he needs time to adjust to a Bill Belichick coaching style. He is used to probably doing what he wants. And, you know, in New England, that is not going to fly. You know, you are going to do what they say, and you are going to fall in line. And he's slowly but surely understanding that. But it's going to take more than...
My way or the highway.
Yeah, it's going to take more than a few video chats. But I do want to talk about the Patriots a little bit more. Like, it's possible that they could still win their division, but, I mean... Let's talk about a couple of options or what it would take for them to be playing Kansas City in the AFC Championship. Aren't they still that team that always finds a way to make it? Do you think that if Cam stays healthy or maybe they get a wide receiver pickup, they have a chance? Or is their season over? Should they try to look for a quarterback in next year's draft?
Playing for a quarterback. I think they're playing, not tanking. I'm not saying that because NFL people don't tank, so I won't put that in the mojo out there. But they are playing for a quarterback. The Lawrence sweepstakes is out there.
Yeah.
That kid for Clemson is on everyone's radar for a future long-term replacement for anyone. If you can get into the sweepstakes for him, you do it, especially where you're at. You don't have Brady. You have Cam, who's a great talent. He's a great athlete, but you'll have to build and run your structure around Cam. Cam can't do what Brady did. Like you said, he can't make others better. You just have to allow him to play. So
why do you have to say it like that?
I'm going to say this. I believe they are playing for the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. That's just all I have to say on that aspect for them. I think they're going to want to go out there and put the rules. That's why I said no tanking. They're playing.
Listen, because ain't nobody beating the Jets right now. Did you hear? I don't know what reporter said it. I have to go back and look about it. But our player, I think it was, he said that if the Jets win the number one draft, that he should go back and play for Clemson another year.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Yeah, truth.
I cannot believe it, but it's like I can't even be mad at it because it's like, yo, that talent going to the Jets would just be a waste, almost like OBJ is in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would just be a waste of talent. The Jets are not going to be good anytime soon.
No. They're releasing everybody. They're selling off everything. They're playing to lose.
But that's what I'm saying, because they want that quarterback. But I'm saying you have that quarterback, but nobody to surround him. So it would be a waste of pure talent to even try. I feel like it would take his talent away because he would not be able to show his talent because he has nothing to show it with. I just feel like, I mean, you can't tell him to go back to college, but.
Nah,
I just
feel you definitely
like, can't. I wish he would go to a better team.
So well, it's over for them. What are they? 0-6?
They're not going to win a game, so they're going to get the number one pick. So what do you think that he does?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm the Jets, Darnold is not a bad quarterback. That's the problem.
He's not good.
Trevor Lawrence is great, but Darnold is not bad. So if I'm the Jets, I play for the sweet stakes in essence, but I trade away the pick for pieces. That's what I would do. I would trade away the pick for other picks to get more pieces for that one pick. Because everybody would be willing to sell their mama's house and give everything to get that kid.
You're probably
right. I keep Darnold because he's good. He's shown flashes, but like you said, he has never been with any talent. The only talent he has is Crowder right now, and an aging Gore. You know, like they got rid of Anderson. They got rid of everybody, man. Like they didn't even give the kid a chance. But he's good with what he's gotten. He's shown fight. So I play like I'm going to lose for Lawrence. When I get the pick, I go to the highest bidder. Because somebody will give you a boatload of picks for him immediately.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of teams that got picks, like the Raiders. They got a lot of picks coming up. So they are not – they're keen on Carr, but they do – yeah, they get rid of Carr for Lawrence. Gruden has no love for nobody. Eli Belichick. You saw him get rid of his key linebacker to get picks? He going to do what it got to take.
Yeah. You're right. That's why they're looking too bad this week. Huh? You know, we're going to talk about the game a little bit later, but they keep surprising me.
Right. Hey, but that's what he did. He's like, look, I could have this great one player pay him and have nothing else, or I could trade him away for a bunch of picks and free up cap space. And where did his cap go? To his offensive line, who's protecting and keeping Carr clean. And that's why Carr looks a lot better. So if you have a quarterback, get the line together. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, well, you do need a good offensive line. You can't beat that. You definitely need a good offensive line. Okay, so what happened in Miami?
Right.
Poor Fitzmagic, what happened to him?
Exactly.
What do you mean what happened?
He won a game and then lost his job? How did that happen?
You see the ceiling of Fitzmagic? Too sporadic. If he was consistent, he wouldn't have lost his job. I can't feel bad for somebody who's inconsistent. That's just
it
like your show. If you
heart.
Only come up
did
every once in a while,
stories?
People gonna listen to you.
It broke his heart. Did you not see the stories? I just want to know.
That's
because
he thought he actually had a team because he's on a team with subpar pieces, and that he thought he was gonna actually play throughout the whole season, and he was got him to 3-3, and they said, "Oh, you should be happy with being 500. I'm doing great. Don't try the kid to see if we can get any better." Why not?
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Why now? Like, because the last two games, obviously he played the Jets. So he can't really count that.
Timing.
But, like, the week before he played the 49ers,
timing.
Which also is a crumbling, huh?
It's timing. So guess what comes up right now? They have a bye week. So they have an additional week to get Tua up to speed. That's the smartest thing you can do. They're not gonna do any better with Fitzpatrick. He'll win you a few more ball games. He'll lose you some more. What's the difference between him and Tua? They can do the same thing, but we can get Tua acclimated and make it his team. That's why we drafted him as our first pick, to get him ready. He watched Fitzpatrick was moved there and knew that he was going to mentor this kid when they drafted him. He just thought it would be a little later in the season. They got him early.
Mm-hmm.
Had he been more consistent,
poor guy.
Had he been, I'm just saying, had he been more consistent, had he won a little more ball games, he would have earned himself a little more time. But his time was limited anyway. His time was set to expire the moment they drafted Tua. He knew that. It just sucks
right.
that he
just
didn't realize
how do you feel? How do you feel about Tua? Do you think that, you know, he is to be, or he is their guy, or he will be their guy? Is he have the talent to be great?
Yeah. So you know his statistics at the university.
Yeah.
So the kid was a winner. He came in and won them a game out of nowhere. He knows how to win. Am I saying is he the answer? It all depends on what they put around him. It doesn't matter what the kid has if the system isn't built around him as a quarterback. Plus, you need to get him in there and acclimate it as soon as possible, because this is where he's cheap, pieces around him to win. That's why everybody likes to draft new quarterbacks, because when a quarterback
yeah.
becomes good, they become expensive, and pieces are hard to come by. So you put him in now, you get him acclimated to the speed of the NFL, get some of the draft picks that you have, put some receivers around him, some offensive line pieces around him, and you go from there and get them while you can. Pay some money to some good names, bring them to Miami, and get them going. But you got to look at the kid. They saw something in practice
yes.
that we're not seeing. You know, we're not at practice, so I don't know what they saw. All we got,
I've seen it in about 2 minutes of things.
I definitely want
to see what they see. Yeah. I'm
exactly.
To that.
That's what I mean. Like, all we heard was he did a 2 minute garbage time, and now he's the starter. As a fan,
right.
we're like, what just happened? But again, we know that they're seeing things that we're not. His throws might
right.
be more crisp, might be more on time, more in sync. He might be able to move a little better in the pocket. They're like, you know what? I'm seeing something. This kid got it. Let's go ahead and give him that extra week, get him going, and get it set and get rolling.
I got you. Well, we will find out, not this week, but next week. We're definitely going to see what's going on with him. So, Le'Veon found a hole pretty fast. What happened there? I feel like
that
was quick.
That?
But You did. That's why I had to bring it up. That's why I had to bring it up while you was on the phone.
Yeah.
I had to bring it up. You did. You said he was going to Kansas City. But I just feel like, I know they couldn't use him this week because obviously they need to get him, like, caught up. They need to get him, you know, on the, you know, into the playbook, knowing what he's doing and stuff. But does he help them? I mean, it's not like their running game
yeah.
is terrible.
Their running game is not that good, by the way.
It's terrible, though.
Listen. They called the kid Barry Sanders off of 1 week's worth of work, and we ain't heard of nothing since. So you watch sports, you listen to commentators. They haven't said anything about their running game since the kid broke that one game, and that was it.
That was what?
He's too little for red zone. When you try and put him between the tackles on the red zone, they just punk him every time. So – Bell is a bigger back.
Back to back.
He did what?
I said, is this what Kansas City needed to go back to back? Do you believe that they can go back to back? Because I'm still not sold on them, to be honest with you.
No, probably not.
Because I feel like even I'm thinking like them adding him, like, is that really going to make a difference? Their play has not been that good. Like, they've been squeaking by these wins. I know the score may not reflect that, but it's not like they're cutting heads off like they were last year. They don't look – I mean, yeah, granted, COVID, injuries, blah, 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 but they were the team to beat coming into this, and they have a lot of their big – I'm just wondering, like, are they still the team to beat? Like, are we still looking at Kansas City as go ahead. Oh, I think we lost him, D. But is Kansas City the team to beat?
So the question is, are they team to beat? Yes, because they're last year's champion. Okay, so yes.
Besides that.
I'm going with the real. So are they the team to beat? Yes. Are they the most complete team? No. So what I mean by that is their offense prolific? Yes, it is. Is their defense good? No, it's not. So when you have a bad defense, it's hard to win championships. Can they go to the Super Bowl again? Yes, they can. Does it mean they're a lock for the win? No, it doesn't. The most complete teams that I'm seeing right now are going to be the Tennessee Titans and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They happen to be the most complete team on both sides of the ball. They both can play defense, and they got a solid offense. That's the teams that I would be looking at that are complete and actually can make a run for everything. Everybody sold on Green Bay, but they got exposed quickly by a team that had a terrible defense, and they stymied Green Bay with Tampa Bay. Seahawks got the worst defense in the National Football League history right now. So they can only go so far without that defense. That's just like Kansas City. You need a defense to win ball games.
Seattle picks up Antonio Brown. Do they go to the Super Bowl?
I know they're going to get through the division because their division, no one can beat them. The only thing that I would say is see who they play in the playoffs. If they do play a team that is a good defense, it would be hard for them to pass. Because they can slow them down. But I would say if Antonio Brown gets there, I would put him in there. Russell Wilson is the most amazing talent I've seen in a long time. And if I were to do a draft and pick who I wanted to pick as a fantasy draft, I would pick Russell Wilson over any quarterback, man. Like the way he's winning ball games without a defense and having to put the team on the back year in and year out, the kid is special. And then you got DK Metcalf, Lockett, and Brown, three-headed monster? Come on, man. You're giving him more weapons to play with? Yeah, that's nasty because Antonio Brown is still good. He is still good.
He is still good.
And you have Russell Wilson? Come on, man. That's a hard team to beat. Who are you going to – you got to pick the poison. Who are you going
to
stop?
Do they go to the Super Bowl? Is that doing for them?
I think it's doable because Russell Wilson knows what he's doing. He's beating teams. He's got the. I'll stop there. I know we got time, so.
No, we got time. That's definitely fair. That's definitely fair. Because I'm just trying to see because if we're talking Super Bowl today, you know, Pittsburgh has got to be. I'm looking forward to this Pittsburgh Tennessee game. Well, we're gonna talk about this, you know, later, our top three games that we're looking forward to watching. But I'm excited to see. You know, what happens with that game, because then it gives us a better understanding on the AFC. The AFC is still undecided, and I'm not too sure that Kansas City can beat Tennessee, for real.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Tennessee has a defense and their offense plays. They might have beat them last year in that playoff with them with that heroics, but Kansas City defense isn't like it was last year. So
right.
I said Tennessee is a complete team. Their defense is like the Ravens, man. Like, their defense is like the Ravens. They're basically the Ravens with a quarterback that can sit back in the pocket and throw. He can't run as good as Lamar, but Tannehill been moving on people. Tannehill been cutting some people on the running board.
He's been shocking me. So he's been making plays out of him.
It's looking like the Dolphins should have never got rid of him, man. I mean, he's a whole new player right now.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And he's definitely, well, we don't know what the young kid can do, but he's definitely better than Fitzpatrick, that's for sure. So I don't know what went wrong there. But also, again, Miami don't have nobody. You see what I'm saying? Like, he has people. can make plays, and he's got a running game that can open up that that passing plays, you know, the passing yards for him. Like, it's not like he gets a lot of play action options because D. Henry is so good. He doesn't have that in Miami. So when you put a mediocre quarterback with a surrounded by talent that he can actually use, it makes him look better than he actually is because
he was
trash in Miami. He was trash. You know what I'm saying? But
so,
now,
so let me ask you this.
Like,
let me ask you this, though. You just said put a mediocre quarterback with that team and he'll look good. What happened to Mariota?
I don't know.
Because he was the quarterback before Tannehill.
But he did have a lot of – he was injury prone, man. That boy, he was too small. Every time he got sacked, he got hurt, man.
That's not what I asked. That's not what I asked you.
Hey,
right, but
I mean,
still, he wasn't doing the same
talent,
thing.
He was talented in college with college players, okay? When he came to the big boy league, he was not ready. He was not ready for the big boy league. He probably should have stepped out a little bit longer, learned a little bit more, and built himself up a little bit because literally he was hurt every other time, and then his thing was, I'm going to play through the pain. Like, he's playing injured, which is no good for a quarterback who's not elite. He had awards and stuff in college, but he wasn't an elite quarterback. He didn't even have a chance to be.
And that's because he played in the Oregon system. The Oregon system hit all his inequities. They hit all his weaknesses. Because when you look at when he was there, versus Justin Herbert, that system actually hit Justin Herbert's actual talent. Justin Herbert was playing their scheme, and he's doing way better in the NFL than he did with Oregon. And Oregon's scheme was built for a Mariota-type player. So goes to show you, he wasn't as good as advertised. Yeah, they quickly figured that out.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. He wasn't that good, and he was very injury prone. I don't think he was ready for the NFL, and that's why where is he? Is he?
He's a backup for the Raiders, man.
Oh, I was like, where is he? I don't even know who the poor boy is.
Yeah, to think about that, huh? Brought somebody up. You're like, what happened to him? What did happen to Mariota? He ain't even there no more. They shipped him out of there. He gone. See you. Bye bye.
He should have opted out this year. He's hoping to get another chance.
He's hoping to get another chance. He's RG3 in it now. He's RG3. He's RG3 now.
Oh, poor guy. I know. RG3, see, got that one injury and never came back. And he had high hopes for the 1 year.
He still can play. He went to the Browns, and that didn't work out. And then the Ravens took him, and they're like, yeah, we can use him. So if Lamar gets hurt, we have someone similar. It's like he ain't getting no shot, man. He still can play quarterback. He's relegated to a backup, man. It sucks, bro. He could go somewhere else and play.
At one point or another. Because Fitzpatrick, I think, has played with almost every team in the NFL, I think.
Almost every team. Get out of here.
Almost every team. Okay, real quick, we got about 15 minutes left, so I do want to talk about one more thing before we do our top picks and talk about our games for the week. But what happened to the Vikings, man?
Oh, my God. Oh.
What
happened to the Vikings is their defense isn't what it was last year. They let go of Diggs, and they didn't realize how valuable the kid was till they had to rely on just Thielen. And they luckily picked up that rookie, though. So they luckily snatched that rookie. I forgot his name. It's like Madison or I can't remember his name. Alexander or something. I can't remember his name. It's sitting on my tongue. But they picked him up, but their defense isn't there. And you're now getting a whole taste of the decision they made to pay Kirk Cousins. He's now what we thought he was, a subpar quarterback. He's putting up decent numbers. He can put up statistics. He can throw the ball. He can get things done, but he cannot win ball games when you need him. That's where you roll into the Brady greatness. He wins ball games. It might not be pretty all the time, but Brady wins.
Right.
This guy does not win ball games. He is not built to be a championship quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he is not great. That's just what it is. He can
put
up stats, and that's it.
Cousins. But it's like every time you think that the Vikings are going to show up, they don't. They let you down every single time. And then they want to get excited about the one game that they won that nobody freaking cares about. So I just, you know, they let me down this weekend. I'm really pissed they're going to come through.
They got whooped by the Vikings, man. The Falcons.
The Falcons,
man, they were dead in the water.
Like,
dead.
The Falcons win a game for nothing, and then you let them beat you of all teams? I was like, that was just like us losing to Denver. What the hell?
It was Jefferson. That's the kid's name. So Jefferson is the rookie that they picked up, had 9 receptions, 166 yards, 2 TDs. He's a killer. So I'm glad they got him. But Kirk Cousins was 24 for 36, so he was good. He had 343 yards. That's good. He had 3 touchdowns. Great. But he also had 3 interceptions. So that's another issue that comes with Kirk Cousins. He has a great stat line until you need to not turn the ball over and create a victory for a team that was dead in the water. Dead. I mean, I don't know what to do. Julio Jones was killing. He came out of nowhere. He was hurt all year. Like, what's going on?
You just never can tell. It's just every time you think they're going to do good, that's what happens. That is exactly what happens. Okay, so we are going to end tonight, you guys, with our favorite games of the week. Because there are actually going to be some pretty games on this week. So I'm excited, obviously. So first game that I'm looking forward to, since just me and you, D, I spoke a little bit about Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Battle of the Undefeated Teams. That's going to be a great game, 1 o'clock Sunday Eastern time. I'm excited to watch that game. I'm excited to see if Pittsburgh's defense is going to stop D. Henry, which I hope not, because D. Henry is in my fantasy team. So obviously, I need him to do great. So I am hoping that Tennessee pulls this one out for me, and I hope that Henry has a big game. But I'm interested to see how they hold up. Obviously, Mike Tomlin is one of my favorite coaches. He seems like just a great guy to play for, and I know that he's a good coach, and I know that he's going to game plan, and he's going to try to take Henry away, which is what I'm afraid of. Because when Henry gets taken away, Tennessee loses. So it's going to be an interesting game to see. The other game that I am looking forward to watching is Seattle-Arizona. That is also going to be a good game. I like the way Arizona's been playing. And I think that, you know, Seattle obviously being undefeated, they're obviously somebody to look out for this year. So I'm actually really excited to watch that game as well. And then, let's see, the final game that I think, oh, my gosh, Kansas City playing Denver. How disrespectful. Is Tampa Bay, Las Vegas. Also, again, because, you know, I want to see if this Brady thing continues. And Las Vegas ain't no slouch. You know, they gave Kansas City a run for their money. So I feel like that's going to be another game that's going to be nice to watch. That one's, you know, a Sunday night game. So obviously it's going to be exciting.
Taking that.
You get all the dazzle.
In my parlay.
Exactly. And the parlays, bro. And the parlays. We got to get it right this week. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited. hopefully we figure out and get it right, I hope, you know, because it hasn't gone too well for us, you know, not going to lie.
I know. This year is terrible.
What you got? What are your 3 favorite games this week?
Man, those are the only good games. So, let me see. I'm looking. I'm like, yeah. There ain't nothing.
You always picking my game.
No. That's because you only pick the good games to watch. So let me see.
Good games.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So game to watch for me. Let me do this just because this is huge. Let me switch it up. So, the Giants and Eagles game. That's huge for me because Cowboys and Washington play. So those two games are huge because it's going to find out who's going to take the lead in the division. So those two games I'll definitely be watching as one game. All of my division rivals are playing right now, and I need to watch all of those to see who prospers. And I need the Cowboys to at least get a win against the Redskins, and I don't care who wins with the Eagles or the Giants because we'll still be 3-2, so we'll take the lead. So it's very important that we win. And it doesn't matter outside of that, but I'll be watching those. So that's one game for me on both of those. I definitely want to see Teddy Bridgewater against the Saints. I want to see what he can do. I mean, they're playing good football. They're a good football team. The running back that replaced McCaffrey, he's doing a phenomenal job. He's got weapons. Teddy's moving. He kind of disappointed me last week, but I want to see if he can bounce back. They got the Saints favored. So I want to see what Teddy B can do against the Saints. I'm rooting against Breeze on this game. And then I definitely do want to see that Buccaneers-Raiders. That is a game where there is no slouch in the Raiders, man. I mean, Gruden's gotten them playing. They got their groove. They did beat Kansas City. That's a huge thing. They're an all-around team. But I want to see what Brady can do with a team that's all around. A team that can actually keep up with him and score, that can actually run the ball, that can play defense, that can throw the ball. I definitely want to take a look at those. It's going to be an amazing weekend with those games for me, especially with the ones I told you in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's hard. It's like, you know, because now, like, the games are, you know, very limited, you know, so it's like we don't have so many games on, you know, people are on bye. People are suspended. Actually, I don't think any of the teams are suspended anymore at this point. I think everybody is.
Nah. COVID is done for a COVID thing.
Just got to worry about the bye weeks and everything. Like, I mean, yeah, because it's just byes now. But, man, another freaking crazy week of football down in the books. I can't believe it, but we definitely got to get it right. How's your fantasy going?
Terrible. Terrible. I lost everybody, man. Everyone's hurt. Oh, my gosh. My first player that went down was McCaffrey. He's been out for like 6 weeks. Man, I mean, he went down. I picked up like a sneaker pick for my flake. AJ Green been whack all year. I mean, I'm not doing too good right now. I lost Ertz. I had things on my bench. He's dead. Like, man, I don't know. My fantasy is not looking good right now.
I'm doing good in some of my leagues, obviously, because I have a few key players that be holding me alive, and then other people's, obviously, their players be up every second. So I can't really complain, but my fantasy's going all right. But one league I'm doing bad in. One league I'm like 2-2 or 2-3.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I am right now. One of my leads, man. I'm like,
lost one. Yeah. Two of them I'm doing. Three of them I'm doing all right. One of them I'm not doing too good in. So, I mean, I guess it's even. As long as I win three, then I'll be all right. So we'll see what happens. But we are coming down to the last few seconds, you guys. I just want to thank you for tuning in this week. Obviously, you know, we run out of time very fast. I don't know where the time goes. It goes by so fast. But you guys can catch us here live every week, Wednesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. Let them know how they can get a hold of you, social media. Give them your handle, D.
Oh, yeah. So it would be the Laporte Clan, would be Instagram. Regular Facebook is Dwayne Laporte. And Malbosian3L Snapchat. That's the way you can get in touch with me. If you want to tune in and see what I'm doing, getting in, moving around. I do a lot of other things as well. YouTube is going to be another handle for me, and that's going to be coming up as well. So that's where you can find me.
You guys definitely look him up. Definitely follow him. He is awesome. He's here with me every Wednesday night. You guys can find me, official underscore Mimi underscore C. It's the same on all my handles, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, wherever you want. Official underscore Mimi underscore C. You guys, like I said, we missed Big Mark tonight. I don't know what happened to him. Hopefully he'll be with us next week. But we will be back for you guys every weekday, Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. And we are out of here. D, you take care. And I will obviously be in touch with you. You know it. And we will definitely be talking this weekend.
All right. Take it easy. Y'all have a good night.
All right. Have a good night.